chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzi Vesugian here with you live on a Friday night as the draft continues. But we're going to go ahead and do the podcast a little early anyway because it doesn't seem like the Chiefs will be picking again in day two of the NFL draft. We'll still kind of monitor the draft as it goes on, but it appears the Chiefs are done with day two. And to be quite honest, I would not mind because I think the Chiefs have two really good offensive players that they got in this draft class. Welcome in, guys. I'm Farzi Vesugian. Appreciate you guys downloading, listening to this episode of the podcast. If you're listening to the archive version, for those of you watching live on Facebook and YouTube, appreciate you guys on a Friday night here. It's not the Red Friday live chat. We did that already today. We're doing the podcast. Real quickly, let's pay the bills, get this out of the way. This podcast brought to you by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com for your ticketing needs. You want to go to a sporting event, a concert, whatever it may be, go to SeatGeek.com. And if you're a new SeatGeek customer, put in my promo code Farzin, and you'll save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. All right, let's get right into it. Because the Chiefs now have their offensive lineman on the left side there, new left tackle. So this essentially spells the end of Donovan Smith. Some people were asking today, the topic came up, is there a chance Donovan Smith might come back? It seems like that is pretty much dismissed at this point because the Chiefs did draft Wanya Morris last year in the third round, and this year, just moments ago in the second round, they drafted from BYU left tackle Kingsley Suamataya. That is how you say it, Suamataya. Had to look that up a couple of times, but overall a very good pass blocking offensive tackle here. Just to give you guys a little background information on him, he has actually switched around a couple of times on BYU's offensive line. He played just a few snaps, just 11 snaps at left tackle in 2021 when he was a backup, played just one game that year. In 2022, he played all 687 snaps at right tackle, then moved back to left tackle where he played all 644 snaps at the left side. So he has played both left tackle and right tackle and has been very, very good at both positions. When you look at 2022 as a right tackle, he allowed just 8 hurries, 3 QB hits, 0 sacks allowed as a right tackle. As a left tackle this past year for BYU, 6 hurries, so 2 fewer hurries. It's worth noting they did play one less game in 2023, so take that for what it's worth to you. But 2 less hurries, had 6 hurries allowed, did allow 2 sacks, the only 2 sacks he allowed in his college career as a starter. Both of them came at left tackle. For what it's worth to you, when you want to look at the Pro Football Focus grades, his run blocking grade, not very good. It's at a 52.9, but when it comes to his pass blocking grade, very good. Considered elite, essentially, 86.1. That is a very high grade from Pro Football Focus standpoint right there. Here's what's so interesting to me, and I'll get more into Suamataya because it's important to talk about the offensive line right now. Brett Veach, man, we got to give it up to him. This guy's done a hell of a job ever since he's become the general manager of the team. I think this is maybe, I don't want to say his most impressive work because 2022 was a very strong draft class. And yeah, it helps when you get all those draft picks in the Tyreek Hill trade. But this might be the most aggressive we've seen Brett Veach. And it's not easy to trade up when you're the last pick in every round because you won the Super Bowl. Now, but I'll say this. A lot of people are asking, why did the Chiefs trade up one spot? Because San Francisco was getting a call from another team. We don't know who that team is, but they wanted the same player. They wanted Suamataya. And if the Chiefs didn't do anything, San Francisco was going to trade with that team. What did Brett Veach do? He beat him to the punch. He gave San Francisco an offer they couldn't refuse. Now, I don't think the trade details have been revealed yet. I don't think it's anything drastic because it is one spot different, but it probably was a little more enticing for
San Francisco to deal with Kansas City than whoever the other team was that potentially wanted Tsuma Taya. So I like the pickup right here. I really do. This is going to help Kansas City a lot. This is going to help Patrick Mahomes a lot. And Patrick Mahomes, he actually tweeted shortly right after the pick saying that he loves Brett Veach, which is when you speak that highly of your GM, that's always a good thing here. But man, just the numbers alone on this guy's really good. 2 sacks allowed, 6 hurries allowed. That is at the left tackle position. And again, just played very well as a pass blocker. One of the best pass blockers in college football last year. So the knock on him is the run blocking ability, which, you know, I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs can work on that with him. But that's not the biggest priority on this football team. If you can, pass protection is number one. When you have Patrick Mahomes, when that guy's your franchise quarterback, your 2-time MVP, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, you got to protect him, defend him, no matter what. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did with this pick here, moving up a spot, beating another team to the punch to get Kingsley Suomataya. This is a good draft for the Chiefs. I like it a lot. Listen, I said before today's portion of the draft got underway, it's nice to have Travis Kelce and Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Those are 4 great pass catchers to have. And listen, Patrick Mahomes is going to have a field day. Yeah, Rice, he may not be suspended this year. It may come next year. We don't know when. But let's say Rice is suspended to start the season. Well, he got 3 very reliable pass catchers to start off the season, 2 vets and Kelce and Hollywood. And then Xavier Worthy can kind of, you know, not feel like he's pressured into making a play as a rookie. The first couple of games can kind of just dive in and blend in with the offense and contribute whenever his number is called. When Rashee Rice does come back, if he does get suspended, it's almost like you got another first round pick for your offense. And, you know, he'll have that time to be able to think about things personally. And obviously during that time, he'll be able to work out, stay in shape, and he'll be fresh, ready to go when he comes back from his suspension. And that's only going to help this Kansas City offense. But you got to have someone protecting the MVP's blind side. And they did exactly that today. Is it possible that he's going to be a day one starter when the Chiefs drop the banner on Thursday night later this year? I don't know. We're not sure. Maybe there's a possibility he does compete for the starting job at left tackle against Wanya Morris. But I think more likely than not, the Chiefs are going to want Suomataya to be the left tackle going into week one. I'm loving the Chiefs offense right now. Look, the left tackle position, both left and right tackle positions, the past couple of years have not been very good. You had Orlando Brown for a couple of years, just did not live up to the expectations. Oddly enough, Veach offered him a lot of money. Thankfully, he declined it. At right tackle, you had Andrew Wiley, who wasn't very good. They were both in the top 2 in the NFL in pressures allowed in 2022. And then in 2023, Donovan Smith wasn't playing very well, gets injured. Wanya Morris steps in. Chaz has some flashes, plays well for a rookie that was taken in the 3rd round. Then you have Juwan Taylor, who, you know, had a really weird season, committed some penalties. Some of the weird penalties with the pre-snap motion and all of that he got called for was just odd. And once it got called out and once the Chiefs kind of exposed that he had been picked on, you saw the referee's not picking on him for the pre-snap motions as much. So it was kind of a weird season. There were at times where Juwan Taylor had some good moments as a pass blocker, not consistent enough though. And he was guilty of taking away one of Rashee Rice's touchdowns in the Miami Dolphins game, which should have been the 2nd touchdown for Rice. Thankfully, it didn't impact the game too much, but you can't be doing that kind of thing. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Rice was way ahead. It's not necessarily to call. I don't really agree with that. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. Doesn't matter how close that penalty is to the football. You got to call that if it's a penalty, and it's going to be taken back at the end of the day. And Juwan Taylor's got to be better about that kind of thing. Was the most penalized player in football last year. With Suomataya, you have a very solid left tackle here. And it, really, in general, you have a lot of great offensive linemen on this football team right now. With Sione Mataia on the left side, and who's he next to? Maybe the best interior offensive lineman in all of football right now in Joe Tooney. And then you have Creed Humphrey right down there in the middle. You have Trey Smith right next to him, and then Juwan Taylor on the right side there. If Juwan Taylor is the weakest link, I will take that. I think the Chiefs can find ways to work with him in the offseason to try to make him improve and be better going into 2024. But I love the offensive line right now. And the Chiefs have already worked really hard in trying to improve the wide receiver room. You got Hollywood Brown, you got Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice with a year of experience under his belt now. And again, we'll see what happens with him, with the legal matter and the suspension that could be coming either this year or next year. Patrick's got a lot of guys to work with. And we talked about this last night with Xavier Worthy, one speedster, Hollywood Brown, another speedster, Travis Kelce, the tight end goat, Rashee Rice, a wide receiver who's growing. You can't double team everyone. And with a much more reliable offensive line now, Patrick Mahomes is going to have a field day. I'm saying it right now. Stay healthy. Knock on wood. You're winning the MVP this year. The Chiefs, their path to three-peating, I mean, it's a good one. And listen, I know they had all these issues last year. They still won 11 football games and had the number three seed. So this, at the end of the day, is a football team that figured out the flaws on this team, especially with the offense. There were a lot of them. We know that. But still, they found a way to win 11 games. Oh, yeah, they also won the Super Bowl, too. Let's not forget about that. I love the way that things panned out in this draft. Night one could not have gone any better. Traded up, made that move to get Xavier Worthy. And then on Friday night, the Chiefs waited. I was a little surprised they did trade up because, you know, if Sione Mataia went somewhere else, I would not have been upset with Dominic Puni. I think a lot of people would have been happy with him, given that he's a guy who went to a nearby college at KU. But I think, you know, Sione Mataia is just the better overall offensive tackle. And this has been a good draft for the Chiefs so far. Let me quickly pull up the Chiefs and the rest of their and by the way, you're starting to see more offensive linemen go. Brandon Coleman went, Caden Wallace to the Patriots. You're starting to see more of those guys go. Let me just quickly see what the Chiefs have left. And I don't know how much draft capital they gave up for that spot to move up. Right now, we don't have a press conference because the third round's still underway. And maybe there's a chance the Chiefs do trade up, though I think it's doubtful. So the Chiefs do not have a third round pick. They gave that up to get Xavier Worthy, but they do have a pair of fourth round picks for day three of the draft. They have a fifth round pick. They got a sixth round pick. They did not have a sixth round pick coming into the weekend, and they have a seventh round pick. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks left. And I think at this point, you are just looking to try to provide some depth at this point. I think you have your 22 starters figured out. Now, there may be injuries that occur either in OTAs or training camp. Hopefully not, but you can never dismiss those possibilities. Those things, unfortunately, do happen. We see that a little bit. But in general, though, I think you have your 11 starters on offense and your 11 starters on defense. I think you know who's starting for you. And obviously, you got your special teams guys in place. Matt Araiza, perfect replacement for Tommy Townsend. Harrison Butker, who is just getting better and better and right now is the best kicker in the NFL. You've got just so many great players across the board. Offense, defense, special teams. And we talked about this a little bit before today's portion of the draft with the return duties. You got Xavier Worthy, who's capable of being a good punt returner. And you have Luis Rizamet, who maybe doesn't play a whole lot on offense. Maybe he does. We don't know. We'll see. But he'd be perfect for being the team's kick returner, given the new rugby style of kickoff returns that's in place now. So, there are a lot of reasons to be excited about this Chiefs football team. I love the draft. Love the way everything panned out. And I think you have your 22 starters figured out. I think you know who your week one starters are going to be. Only big question is Rashi Rice going to be available for that season opener? I'm thrilled, though. I mean, this is already a great team on paper, especially on the offensive side, going into the season. The defense, a year ago today, we obviously did not expect the defense to be as dominant as it was. Yes, you lost L'Jarius Sneed in a trade, but you still have an all-pro cornerback in Trent McDuffie, and you got two really good depth players in Josh Williams and Jalen Watson, who've shined and made some solid plays in the 2 years that they've been around. Justin Reed, I think, is an underappreciated safety. Brian Cook, I thought, was playing well up until his injury in that Green Bay Sunday night football game. So we'll see how he does coming back from that. Defensive line is great. The defense, I think, is going to take just a tiny step back. I don't think it's going to be anything major. They're going to play very well in 2024. And now the offense is going to improve. This might be the best team the Chiefs have put together that I can recall in quite some time. I mean, last year it was mostly the defense that dominated and carried the team at times. Before that, it was Patrick Mahomes doing a lot of the work, and the defense kind of struggled here and there. Had their moments, but far from perfect. Then you look at before Patrick Mahomes came here, Chiefs offense kind of up and down, obviously had their limitations with Patrick Mahomes, but it was the defense that was kind of getting a lot of the praise. Even though they blew that big lead in that Indianapolis game, they still won, 11 games, started the season 9-0 because of their defense and how great they were. And that defense, you know, with Justin Houston, Tamba Hali, Dontari Poe, Derek Johnson, they stuck around for a little bit. Chris Jones eventually came in and replaced Poe, but that unit, you know, was really good for a few years. And then eventually they let Bob Sutton go, but Spags comes in and he's helped the Chiefs win 3 Super Bowls. Again, even though the defense has not been great, wasn't consistent up until this past year, the defense did make some plays when they really needed it the most. So kind of interesting how that all panned out. And Spags has just gotten better and better as a defensive coordinator. The offense, you know, and you look before the Andy Reid era, obviously during the Dick Vermeil era here in Kansas City, it's like the offense was great, but unfortunately the defense, not so much outside of that 1 year in 2003 when they led the NFL in interceptions. And then during the Marty Schottenheimer era, yeah, you had some good players here and there on offense, but it was mostly the defense that was doing all the heavy work, all the heavy lifting for that Chiefs team. So this is now maybe the first time that I can recall, especially in my lifetime, where the Chiefs have a great roster. You've got the balance that you want on this football team. I'm very excited for the way this panned out this year for the Chiefs. All right, let me get into some of you guys' comments here. Donald says, big man protection for our number 15. Well, yeah, that's huge there. Ben's asking, why the hell are we trading up one spot? Because they should stop drinking too much. Okay, interesting. I explained earlier, I don't know if you were here for this, Ben. Another team probably wanted him. So instead of allowing that team to trade with San Francisco, the Chiefs just offered a better deal for the 49ers. And that's why they got moved up one spot. You see that sometimes, and it's not common, but sometimes you do see guys move up one or two spots. The Chiefs didn't move up a whole lot last night, but still did what they needed to do so they can get the player that they wanted. I think I saw someone say they swap 6th and 7th round picks. Okay, good to know. Probably, you know, Chiefs stepping back in those 2 rounds. I would imagine. Look at Brady. New England lived and died by their offensive lines there. Yeah, that's a great point, TJ. The thing about New England is you saw so many different pass catchers and their defense. You know, you saw a lot of different defensive players there. But they kept Tom Brady, and they kept a lot of the key offensive linemen there for a long time there. Those are the guys they retain the most. That's what they did during the Brady era in New England. So that's what the Chiefs have been trying to do. Okay, I thought I saw the Chiefs move up. No, not the case. But a lot of you guys are pretty happy with this. It's good to see. That was a great pick. Pick up more pass protection for Mahomes. Absolutely. Johnny says the Chiefs give up their fifth rounder for the Niners sixth rounder. Okay, so stepping back a little bit there. They do not, Lee. They do not have a pick in the third round. Mohammed says second team All Big 12 for 2023. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's pretty good. And look, another guy from the Big 12 that I was hoping that there were a lot of guys from the Big 12 that that were worthy, no pun intended, of being taken in the second round. Patrick Paul was the guy I really wanted. He ended up going to Miami. Dominic Puni, another Big 12 player who's I don't know. Is he still out there available? Let me just double check. I'd be a little surprised. Yeah, he is still available. So the Chiefs, I mean, listen, I would not have been mad one bit if they went with either Patrick Paul, Sua Taia, or Dominic Puni. If they got either of those three guys, I would have been thrilled. Blake Fisher, I would not have been opposed to. It's just the guy is a right tackle. Joe Alt was obviously the left tackle over at Notre Dame. So the Chiefs get the left tackle that they want there. And I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, converting guys here and there. It is nice to have that flexibility when they have experience at both sides. But the Chiefs needed a left tackle very badly. He excelled at the left tackle position last year. And that is exactly what the Chiefs needed in this draft here. Let's see. I'll read a few more comments here. Could he become an elite tackle over time? I certainly think so. Here's another thing to keep in mind here. The Chiefs, the way their offense is, they're not a team that needs their offensive linemen to block for 5, 6, 7 seconds. They don't need to do any of that. They needed that last year because the Chiefs receiving corps wasn't as good as we would have liked for it to be. Whereas with this unit right now, this is not going to be a receiving corps that's going to have any issues getting open. Travis Kelce, he's not going to draw any double teams this year. And if he does, good luck to whatever defense that does that, because you're essentially allowing Xavier Worthy, Rashi Rice, and Hollywood Brown to be involved in a lot of one-on-one matchups. And that is not at all what you want to do if you're a defense going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Just the way it works, you know. I mean, you can't have elite defenders, pass defenders, you know, everywhere. It's just hard to do. People spend more money on offense than they do on defense. That's just the way the business works. And the Chiefs offensively have just built this great team. Their defense is essentially an empire. When you look at how well they covered players last year, just absolutely dominated. Especially those one-on-one coverages. People think that the Chiefs double-teamed so many receivers. I know the Bengals fans love to make, oh, they double-teamed Ja'Marr Chase. They actually didn't. They only double-teamed him on 3 or maybe 4 snaps. That's it. So this is ultimately just the team right now that you have put together, that is the team you want to three-peat. And to answer your question, Blake, can he get better over time? I certainly think so. Here's one important thing. He doesn't need to be Willie Rofe. He doesn't need to be Eric Fisher. He doesn't need to be Mitchell Schwartz. He doesn't need to be the best offensive tackle in the NFL. It's great. If he does, great. Awesome. No one's going to argue with that whatsoever. What you want is for him to be able to just hold off the edge rushers for a few seconds, and he's going to be going up against some good ones. Khalil Mack, Max Crosby. I mean, there are some good ones in the division and a lot across in the AFC. The Bills have a very good defensive line. The Bengals for now have Trey Hendrickson. Might be his final year with the Bengals. We'll find out. There are a lot of good pass rushers out there, especially in the AFC. And there's going to be a lot of challenges for Sua Taia as a rookie left tackle this year. But I think he'll be ready for it and he'll excel. The thing about it is when you're in practice going up against Chris Jones and George Karloftis, these are guys that you know, can help you improve. And Chris Jones is someone who lines up in different spots on the defensive line sometimes. Majority of it is obviously in the middle, but he'll line up on the outside sometimes. And obviously, we'll do it in practice, and I think that's a perfect practice partner to go up against in trying to learn as a rookie left tackle. A lot of times, like, I'll give you an example. I'm a big UFC fan. I know some of you guys watch the UFC as well. A lot of UFC fighters, what they like to do is go up against fighters who are two, maybe three weight classes above them. A lot of times, especially like women, because the biggest draft class, the biggest weight class in MMA, women's MMA in the UFC is 145, and that's kind of a dead division. But a lot of women who fight at 135, 145, they like going up against men in practice at their gym who might be at 155 or 170 or even 185, because that helps them improve and they learn a lot going up against someone bigger than them. That's the way I kind of view this whole situation with Sua Mataia as a rookie left tackle. Is you have some good edge rushers, good defensive linemen in general to go up against and learn from. And I think the Chiefs are going to get a lot of that in with him this offseason to try to have him ready for week one if he is going to be your week one starter. I think that if you ask me like a percentage of who's likely to start in week one, I'd say there's an 80% chance it's Sua Mataia, 20% chance it's Wanya Morris. I'll put it at 80-20 right now. I think that's pretty reasonable. Listen, and I've said this before, if you guys have been following me long enough, you know I'm not crazy about OTAs and training camp and preseason. I mean, the preseason, at least you're going up against another team, but in OTAs and then in the training camp, you're not even facing a defense. You're just, you know, doing your own thing, trying to do drills and just learn certain techniques. But I am kind of excited to see a lot of the guys in OTAs this year and in training camp and what they're going to do, how they're going to show out and try to carry that over in preseason games. And then into week one as they start their path to a three-peat. That's the goal, to three-peat. Something that's never been done before in NFL history. Yeah, I think you really do have a good shot. Before today or before this weekend, you know, I think you had some wide open holes at wide receiver and left tackle. Those were the two biggest needs. And Brett Veach attacked this draft by getting both positions filled there. 100%. The Chiefs are better right now than they were 24 hours ago. 24 hours ago, they did not have Xavier Worthy. They did not have Kingsley Suomataya. Now they do. They've got their left tackle. They've got another wide receiver to join the fold on offense as they try to improve this offense after a disappointing year last season. I say that, but, you know, they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm just seeing your comment now, Muhammad. I just answered that a moment ago, so I'm sure you heard it. But I say 80% Sua Mataia, 20% Wanya Morris. And listen, I like Wanya Morris. He's a really big physical dude. But, you know, in the event Sua Mataia struggles or gets hurt, again, unfortunately, injuries are a part of sports in a very unforgiving way. Wanya Morris is a good guy to have on your depth right now, 100%. I know when you see this draft pick, if you are a guy like Wanya Morris, probably not something you like. You know, as much as this is great for the team, you know, these players do have to think for themselves as well. Everyone wants to play. Everyone wants to get paid. But unfortunately, that's just the way things work. I saw Mecole Hardman when the Xavier Worthy draft pick was announced. He took to Instagram and pretty much admitted that might be it for his time in Kansas City. Yeah, I'm just looking at OurLads.com. My good friend Dan Shanka, who does a fantastic job with that website and all the depth charts that they do there. Man, I'm looking at the depth chart. I love what I'm seeing right now. So for quarterback, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, who else? Isaiah Pacheco, your running back. No fullback. It looks like the Chiefs are fully moving on away from that position. Tight end, of course, is Travis Kelce. Your wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Rashee Rice. That is a great wide receiver trio to have. Your offensive lineman from left to right, for now they have it as Wanya Morris. It's either him or Sua Mataia. Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Jawan Taylor. Lucas Niang is still on this team. Lucas Niang did some really good things his rookie year in 2021. Remember the 2021 season? You had Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Lucas Niang. Three rookies, center, right guard, right tackle. Now, Lucas Niang was drafted in 2020, but he opted out due to the pandemic that year as that option was given to the players. I'm looking at the depth chart right now. The only backup guard you have is Mike Caliendo. So they're definitely going to be in the market trying to get a guard in this draft class. If not, maybe in free agency with any veterans that could be available. You look at the wide receivers. There are a lot of wide receivers right now on this Chiefs team. They have 3, 6, 9, 12. They have 13 wide receivers. There's a wide receiver in this draft that I really like that should be available in the fourth or the fifth round tomorrow. Jalen Coker from Holy Cross. He was in a very run-heavy offense, to the point where their quarterback was essentially the leading rusher. But whenever they threw the football, he was a big portion of the team's receiving yards. If they could get a guy like Jalen Coker in Kansas City, that would be a great depth player there. And maybe someone that honestly might end up replacing Sky Moore, maybe even Justin Watson. I don't know where the Chiefs stand with Sky Moore right now. This was your second round pick from 2 years ago, and he has had a very slow progress trying to learn the offense, trying to get involved. Whereas Rashee Rice was drafted a year later, but has been far more viable for your offense despite being drafted 1 year after Sky Moore. Kadarius Toney is that guy. A lot of people are kind of wondering, okay, yes, you have all this potential. If you stay healthy, great. If he stays healthy. Now, how much did that knee injury last year that he had surgery on at the start of training camp, how much did that impact his drops? Andy Reid seemed to kind of hint at that last year when the Chiefs were coming off the bye in that press conference. I don't know, but Andy Reid knows more football than I do. So, you know, who am I to question that? Here's another interesting name on this Chiefs roster right now, Justin Ross. He's got all this potential, but at the end of the day, how much more patient are you willing to be with Justin Ross right now? I don't know. Cornell Powell, they drafted a few years ago, 2021. He's still on the team. Montrell Washington, they brought back. Very interesting to bring back Montrell Washington, someone who handled some of the return duties. And then when they brought back Mecole Hardman, I think they released Montrell Washington. But then they brought him back after the Super Bowl. So kind of an interesting move there. Nico Remigio brought back. Anthony Miller on the team. Jacob Copeland on the team. Shai Smith still on the team as well. So they've got some guys that they have on future contracts here. Some decisions to make, but I love the way the offense looks right now. I think we still had high expectations for the offense last year. We just were not prepared for the total number of drops in 2023. We were not ready for that at all. And, you know, it wasn't just one player. So I kind of questioned the coaching staff with the wide receivers coach, with the offensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach being Connor Embry, and obviously Matt Nagy, the OC. What happens moving forward? What do they do there? Can Nagy and Embry have their offense be better prepared and not allow these mental mistakes? Because if the Chiefs caught a lot of their passes, hit them right in the hands, a lot of the issues you saw last year, you would not have seen them. Chiefs probably have the number one seed if those drops don't happen. Obviously, the MVS one was the big one, but that wasn't the only one. I mean, Kadarius Toney, the ball going off of his hand to a defensive player in against Detroit for a pick six. I mean, that was essentially the difference maker in that football game. So it's interesting to see how the Chiefs are going to try to be ready for that. I trust the players. I really do. I was very critical of Nagy and Embry last year. But obviously with the Super Bowl win, you know, you're willing to be more forgiving then. Let's not screw this up because you have a very good team on paper. I've always said, you know, teams like the 49, I've said this a lot this offseason, teams like the 49ers, you know, they have Brandon Ayuk, they have Debo Samuel. I mean, they've got a great wide receiver room. The Miami Dolphins, they've got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. I know there's really no big name after that, but when you have Tyreek and Waddle, you don't really need any more big guys, but they had a good enough depth support there ultimately, and they also had two good running backs on the team to help lift the offense. When you look at Cincinnati, they have, not right now, but the past couple of years, they had three receivers who, in my opinion, if they were all let go today, hypothetically, they could be number one wide receivers on a lot of NFL teams right now. When you look at the Chiefs offense right now, this is a Chiefs team that kind of matches Cincinnati's wide receiver room. Obviously, back when Boyd was on the team, he's a free agent now. He could go back. Who knows? Matches, I think, the Dolphins wide receiver room in terms of overall quality talent. Say with the 49ers. I like the Chiefs wide receiver room going into 2024. And Patrick Mahomes has his blind side taken care of. Yeah, this offense is going to be in good hands. I think it's reasonable to expect improvement from this offense in 2024 and expect huge things from this offense. I said it last night, and I will say it again. This Chiefs team, offensively speaking, I think can mirror what they did in 2018 when they had the third highest scoring output in NFL history. That was when you had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. And I think this is the closest team you have to that right now. I think this Chiefs team can be very similar to that team from 2018. I really do. I think Mahomes is on his way to winning another MVP, his third MVP, and leading the Chiefs to a three-peat, their fourth Super Bowl in 6 years. Sounds crazy to say, but I really do believe this is going to happen. Ryan says, your honesty expectations are worthy. I think we're jumping the gun on the Hill comparisons. I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill. What I'm saying is he has Tyreek Hill similarities. Kadarius Toney also has Tyreek Hill similarities, but I'm not holding my breath on relying on him to be your primary wide receiver here. Okay, apparently Sue Amatai had a really good press conference. I'm curious to hear that later. Hollywood Brown has skill sets similar to Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying they are Tyreek Hill, but they can do a lot of things very similar to. Listen, Hollywood Brown is fast. Xavier Worthy is fast. Travis Kelce for a tight end is fast. Rashee Rice, he's not as fast as those guys, but still can get the job done, still is a good wide receiver, and we saw him grow, still has some things to improve on, but he's a good wide receiver. There are too many players on offense for defenses to worry about with this Chiefs team. Too many guys. John says, Farzin, I'm upset they didn't spend the money to get Joe Alt or Amarius Mims. I will try to hold judgment until I see him play. Don't worry about Rashi. He'll postpone it until after the season. Yeah, that's kind of how things work. I know Dwayne Bowe did something very similar where he had a legal matter and that got pushed back. Those kinds of things are common. As far as your comment about Alt and Mims, a lot of people were kind of like hoping the Chiefs would get Alt. You would have to give up an enormous amount of draft capital to be able to get that, and the Chiefs just weren't really in position to make that kind of move. Did Dominic Puni get picked yet? Wow. I'm surprised he's still available. I'm actually very surprised. I'm very surprised. Okay. I mean, listen, kind of like the Adonai Mitchell situation, like, I thought he was going to go before Worthy, but I mean, teams probably knew some things that none of us knew before today or this weekend. But to address John, the part about Mims, I saw Peter Schrager project the Chiefs to trade up and get Amarius Mims. And I just was not a big fan of that idea. I really wasn't. Mims is a good player, but he's a right tackle and somebody that's dealt with injuries the past couple of years. And that's not, it just kind of scares me a little bit. Listen, that's not to say, I mean, Xavier Worthy, he's been available for a majority of his career, did deal with a little bit of injuries, but who's to say he can't ever get hurt? You know, you can get hurt at any time in this sport, especially in this sport. But I just wasn't really sure if that was a risk the Chiefs needed to take, because you need a very viable left tackle for Patrick Mahomes. That's what this team needs. No risks taken on that front. This team is willing to take risks, but maybe in some areas more so than other areas. As a Buckeyes fan, I want the kid, even though I hate him. Stacy says she's stoked for this season. Hell yeah, Stacy. That's what I want to hear. No, Kelce did not get an extension. Let me just quickly go over Kelce's contract, because I think he's got 2 years left on his current deal. Yeah, so he has 2024 and 2025 left on his deal right now. People have kind of wondered, though, will he retire? I did not dismiss the pod. I actually thought there was a strong chance he would have retired if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, which they did, but he is still here. And look, there are a lot of guys I've said this several times, in the past couple of weeks. There are a lot of guys on this Chiefs team right now. They're entering the final year of their deal. Let me see if I can get a list of 2025 Chiefs free agents. But off the top of my head, Justin Reed, Harrison Butker, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that Hollywood Brown just signed a one-year deal. There are a lot of guys on this team that that are entering in the final year of their deal. And if you're the Chiefs, you gotta start thinking about, you know, what are you going to do? Is there a place? Let me do one more Google check here. It's 2025 free agents. See if there's another place that'll show that. SpotTrack does have a 2025 free agent tracker, but it does let you organize it by team. So let me do that real quickly. Okay, that's 2024. Yeah, 2025. Here are your free agents. And there's a lot. There are a couple of guys I actually forgot here. So Justin Reed, Charles Omeni, who I forgot, who, you know, I hope he's doing well with his recovery. And, man, if he can play a full season, that dude can definitely go off and play just as good as any pass rusher in the NFL. Hollywood Brown, I mentioned, is on a one-year deal. Harrison Butker, Kadarius Toney is in the final year of his deal. Carson Wentz signed a one-year deal. Treshawn Wharton re-signed on a one-year deal. Derek Nnadi, Justin Watson, who's been a good depth player. I mentioned Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, Deion Bush, James Winchester, your longtime long snapper on the team. He's probably flirting with retirement at this point. I think he's been here just as long as Andy Reid and Travis Kelce have been here, since 2013. So he's 35 right now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on a one-year deal. Deion Bush re-signed on a one-year deal. Irv Smith's on a one-year deal. Mike Pinnell came back on a one-year deal. Lucas Niang's on the... he's entering the final year of his rookie deal. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of them are depth guys, of course, but you got some key starters right there that you got to think about. And that's why three-peating is so important to do it, because I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be Super Bowl contenders in 2025. I think, you know, people will still say that they're in the mix, and I think they will. I think they'll still be competitive, but I don't think they will be a Super Bowl threat in 2025. It's not going to be easy to retain all of those guys. That's my biggest concern. That's why I'm saying the Chiefs, they need to go all in and get this three-peat now. You know, reload, rebuild, for the next couple of years and then come back stronger a couple of years later and go get another Super Bowl and not have a 10-year drought like Tom Brady did. Yeah, I wanted Patrick Paul also, Ryan. That was my guy. But I'm not upset at all with Sua Mataia. I would have been happy with Dominic Puni also, mainly because I'm a Kansas fan. So a little bit of a bias there. I mentioned earlier, you know, everyone loves it when players from their favorite college go to their favorite pro team. I mean, everyone is thrilled about that kind of thing. Yeah, Chiefs offense is going to be scary in 2024. I agree with you, Matthew. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm thrilled to see how this is going to go. John's asking, do we go cornerback or linebacker next? I say linebacker. Try to provide some depth behind Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, Leo Chenal. I'm excited for Leo Chenal. I think Leo Chenal is going to get more playing time this year with Willie Gay moving on. I'm really excited Drew Tranquil is coming back. That was very important for the Chiefs defense, especially on a very team-friendly deal. Nick Bolton, you know, I like him better against the run than I do against the pass. So, you know, we'll see what the Chiefs do there. But I think you're good at the cornerback position. I really do think I really do think you're okay there. Maybe you get one in round six or round seven. But I think you're happy with what you have. Predictions for tomorrow, Mike's asking. You know, Jalen Coker is the guy I keep mentioning. I'll tell you right now, I will be ecstatic if they get Jalen Coker. But in general, I mentioned earlier, you have your 22 guys set, I think. I truly believe. You just need to do whatever you can to provide some depth. And maybe you do it more so on defense, because I think that depth on offense is solid. I really do believe that. So try to find some of that depth on defense with the loss of Snead and Willie Gay. And just get ready for 2024, baby. That's what I want to see. Ryan's hoping for a cornerback. Do we jump into the third and get Trotter? I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if they have the... They would have to give up a lot of day three draft picks to get that. And I don't think they want to do that for one player. I haven't even talked about this yet on the podcast. It's not as bad as being Kirk Cousins and watching the Falcons draft a quarterback in the first round. Man, what was that? These are athletes making millions of dollars. But, you know, if you watch that quarterback show, you started to have a different opinion about Kirk Cousins. I think a lot of people, me included, obviously, you guys also, you all being Chiefs fans, watched because of Patrick Mahomes, but walked away kind of enjoying Kirk Cousins' story more. Obviously, we enjoyed Patrick's on-the-field story better, but off the field, I mean, Kirk Cousins and his family, they're just far more relatable people. They shop at Target, okay? They're normal people. If you... met them, you know, at a restaurant, at a grocery store, or just, you know, walking down the street, you would not know that this is a football family. You would not know that. And that's what I think was kind of disheartening to see that whole thing pan out the way it did. Oh, apparently Sua Mataia had some nice interaction with Chris Jones in his visit with Kansas City. Oh, by the way, let me pull this up real quickly before I completely forget. This was actually really cool. So Xavier Worthy, he is in Kansas City right now. He actually got a tour of the training facility before the draft got underway. And I saw he's watching the draft somewhere. I don't know exactly where he is, if the team's providing dinner or what it is. But... Xavier Worthy posted this, if I can find it. Where did I... Oh, there it is. Hold on. Give me one second, guys. I did not set it up properly. Okay, this is what I wanted. Screen share, and there it is. Right there, ladies and gentlemen. This is a screenshot from Xavier Worthy. He tweeted, or I'm sorry, he DM'd the Chiefs on Instagram. Look what time, 1:07 a.m. And what did he say to them? Two more days. That's what he said to the Chiefs. He didn't want to go anywhere else. So when he's in his press conference saying that he dreamt of playing with Patrick Mahomes, he's not bullshitting. He's not doing the whole, oh, yeah, I'm so excited to be here, part of a dynasty, and we're going to three-peat. No, he was serious about all of that. Patrick Mahomes is the guy that he wanted to play with. Also, he DM'd the Chiefs this hand heart emoji on November the 20th. Is this the night MVS dropped the touchdown pass on Monday Night Football? So he's been thinking about us for a while. That's good. That's awesome. That's awesome. He wanted to be a Chief for quite some time. So I'm excited about it. Listen, I'm seeing a couple of comments about Xavier Worthy and being 165, 170 pounds. Look, yeah, you know, if this is a fist fight or a wrestling match, I don't like Xavier Worthy's chances here. Thankfully, this is not a combat sport here, okay? If Xavier Worthy has the football, he's not going to have any issues creating separation and getting away from these defensive players. And whenever they do try to tackle him, they're not, I mean, unless they're able to come, you know, vertically head on, they're not going to be able to deliver a big hit to him. And listen, something the Chiefs have done a lot of over the years, we didn't see it this year, but with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in years past, we saw the Chiefs' primary pass catchers get the ball and go out of bounds a lot, avoiding big hits. I think that's what they're going to do with Xavier Worthy. He's fast enough to be able to do that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm not too concerned about the size there. Sky Moore's been a bust, thought he was going to be good, not so much. Sky Moore is a waste of a draft pick. Yeah, Samuel John, I hear you guys. He hasn't really panned out. Robert says, could Luis Rizamet be used in a fullback position for option plays and rugby laterals? That's actually a really good question here. That is actually a really good question. I don't know. That never crossed my mind. He's got the size for it. Certainly has a size for it. Jason has a really good question here. What do you think of the new helmet protection that they can wear starting the season? So if you missed the news, it has been announced that the NFL has approved of players being allowed to wear the Guardian helmet. You know those thick, the thick padding on the helmet? It essentially covers the logo. Looks a little weird, but they've had that in training camp and in OTAs for a couple of years now. Because they're saying that it allows players or it reduces head injuries. Chris Jones responded to this on X earlier today, and he said this actually does not do that. So I don't really know. I don't know if there's like any evidence that this does reduce injuries, but players don't seem to believe so. I expect Zamet to be a special teams kick returner, punt returner as long as he can catch. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think he'll be your kick returner, and I think Xavier is going to be your punt return guy. Because Zamet is better for the new kick return style, whereas Worthy can do... I think both Worthy and Zamet can do both kick return and punt return. I'm just thinking of the whole like rugby style of kick returns. That is far better suited for Reese Lightning than Worthy. Would not be opposed to either one though. Looking for Mahomes first 6K passing 60 touchdowns. That is very steep, Jeffrey. I will say this because in 2019. If you guys remember that, even though he had a high ankle sprain in week one, Patrick Mahomes in the first like four or five games was actually on pace for 6,000. And that was back in a 16-game schedule. Let me pull that up real quickly. I want to make sure I have that correctly. So bear with me. I'm going to do a little bit of math here just to make sure this is accurate and I'm not spreading anything false here. So, because I remember the first like five games. So there it is. He threw 378 yards in week one, 443 in week two, 374 in week three, 315 in the fourth game, and 321 in week five, despite the loss and the low scoring. So in the first one, two, three, four, five games, he threw more than 1,800 yards. So that's an average of 366 yards per game. Multiply that by 16. He was on pace for more than 5,800 yards. Could have came very close to 6,000. And now with a 17th game, though I will say I kind of have a feeling the Chiefs, with their roster, they probably have the capability of winning enough games to not play the 17th game with their starters, at least. There's a chance Mahomes can go off for 6K. I think that's possible. 60 touchdowns? That is steep, Jeffrey. I mean, you're essentially going to have to not even have a rushing touchdown. You're going to have to pass every single time. I think the 6K yards are far more likely than the 60 touchdowns. I apologize if I'm like stuttering and not for completing my sentence right away. I'm reading notifications as we go on for the night. Let me just quickly see. Yeah, I see some of you guys commenting who what's going on and whatnot. I appreciate that. Where are we? Okay, seems like we're halfway through the third round. We have 37 picks in the third round, and we are at number 20. Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan, just went to two Michigan players back-to-back. Blake Corum and Roman Wilson. Interesting. Did Harbaugh get any Michigan players? Yes, he did, the linebacker. Okay, not shocked whatsoever. They made it pretty clear that there's a possibility that they might do this. Okay, so we're a little over the halfway point of the third round. I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade up because they would have to give up a lot of draft capital to move up. So one last time, let's look at the Chiefs here, because they took Xavier Worthy with the 28th pick. They traded up and got Kingsley Suamataya. They have two fourth-round picks, 31 and 33. So there's a chance that they can kind of control the board for a short period of time there, which is kind of nice to have in a draft. And then in the fifth round, they'll be picking again. They'll be picking at in the sixth round. Did not have a sixth-round pick earlier in this draft. They do now after the Buffalo trade, and they're also going to be picking in the seventh round. So they've got five picks left. You can definitely get some solid depth, more so on the defense, I think, that you need, and a little bit on the offense. So I am looking forward to that. All right. I don't anticipate the Chiefs to do anything else tonight, so we're going to make this the last live stream of the night. I'm excited, and I really hope you guys are as well. This is a Chiefs team that's really done a lot of great things here. Brett Veach has done a hell of a job, and I think Andy Reid and this coaching staff, they've got a great roster to work with. You want to put money on DraftKings or wherever it is you bet on MVP, passing yards, Super Bowl, do it. You have got to do it. I'm doing it. That might be the first thing I do as soon as I'm done with this live stream. My name is Farzin Vesugian. Thank you all for downloading and listening to this episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. For all of you who watch live on Facebook and YouTube, appreciate you guys. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, if you see on the bottom right there, there's the YouTube channel, youtube.com/thechiefszone. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel because we are starting to put more and more video content out there, and we need more volume of views and subscribers on there. So I would greatly appreciate it. A lot of you guys have already subscribed this weekend. We're already growing that channel. Could definitely use more though. So please make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. All right, guys, I'm Farzin Vesugian. I'm out. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night. I will talk to you all tomorrow after the draft. Peace out. Take care.